Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we will be looking at the first 12 verses today. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. This is God's word. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I see in this midsection, it says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." And then, still in that paragraph, verse 7 says, "Don't be afraid. Be afraid, don't be afraid." Am I supposed to be afraid or am I not supposed to be afraid? Here's the main point today. A healthy fear of God will keep you from fearing anything else. A healthy fear of God will keep you from fearing anything else. Jesus has thousands of people who are tripping over each other and pressing against each other in order to try to get close to him. And before he addresses the crowds, he begins by teaching his disciples. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. Here's what he said. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." What is hypocrisy? I shared with you a story after chapel recently about my own battle with hypocrisy. When Dr. Stephen Alford shared that a hypocrite is not just somebody who pretends to be a Christian when they're not, but you're just as much a hypocrite if you are a Christian and in certain situations you try to keep your light under a bushel because you are afraid of what other people will think. So, hypocrisy is something you're supposed to be on guard against. That means you see it as a danger and you seek to avoid it. How can I avoid hypocrisy? Well, what I do is, let's say I'm going into a restaurant. I'm going to be having a meal. Before I eat that food, I stand up and I say, excuse me, could I have your attention, please? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I want to thank God for this food, so I'm going to pray now, and I invite any of you who would like to pray along with me. How many of you have ever eaten with me? Have you ever seen me do that? No. But on the other hand, I have seen a lot of believers, people I know across the years, who in a public setting like a restaurant apparently have to scratch their forehead for just a moment. Okay? They don't pray out loud because they don't want to be obtrusive or obnoxious or whatever. Well, what are they hiding? And so the key to avoiding hypocrisy is simply being honest. When I'm praying in a restaurant, I use my indoor voice, but I speak to God in the same kind of volume that I would use with someone at my table. Because he's there. Well, but he can hear just our thoughts. Of course he can. But why wouldn't you pray out loud? Well, be on guard against hypocrisy, where you pretend to be one way in this environment, but in another environment, you get to be yourself. Are there certain kinds of behavior that are appropriate in one environment and not appropriate in another? Yes, we do not wear our swimsuits to chapel. Okay? But on the other hand, I would look pretty silly wearing a coat and tie down by the pool, okay? Even if we were having a baptism. There are certain behaviors that are appropriate in one setting and not appropriate in another. But loving Jesus and being honest about it is appropriate everywhere. So don't be a hypocrite, and here's why. Well, first of all, because God hates it, but secondly, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. You may think you've got a secret, but God says, you're not hiding it from me, and one of these days it's all going to come out. Go ahead and walk in the light now. Confess your sins to God, and when appropriate, confess them to one another. Be honest. Just be honest. Starts with being honest with yourself. But you need to be on guard against hypocrisy because God hates hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is an abomination to the Lord. So don't pretend to be what you're not.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, and he's holding out his hand. Jesus says it's all going to come out. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you've whispered in the ear in the inner rooms. Trying to be sure nobody knows this except the person I want to tell. It's going to be proclaimed from the rooftops. When we stand before God, it's all going to come out. It's all going to come out. Go ahead and deal with it now. When we come and confess our sins to God, God doesn't say, "What? When did that happen? You did what?" When Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned in the garden, God came looking for them when they hid themselves. And God didn't say, "Look, you two, I know what you did. These are the consequences." Instead, God got them to confess. God said, "Adam, where are you?" God said, "Who told you you were naked?" God said, "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat?" God knew the whole thing. But we need to confess. It's not for God's benefit. It's for ours. Because what we discover is even though there are consequences to our sins, God's love doesn't change. He loves his children. So, Jesus warns his disciples against hypocrisy, which he describes as the yeast of the Pharisees. What does yeast do in bread? Anybody here have yeast rolls ever? You like it, yeast rolls? But what yeast does is it puffs things up. They basically get filled with hot air when you bake them. And that's what the Pharisees were like. They were just full of hot air. They looked really impressive, but they were empty on the inside. Jesus says, you don't want to be like that. Do not be like that. Because what motivates people to be hypocritical? Oftentimes it's fear. Fear of what people will really think of me if they know the truth about me. If somebody finds out I did that, they won't want to be my friend. If somebody finds out that I'm a Christian, they might not think I'm whatever people are today. Once upon a time, it was cool. At some point, it was bad, which meant good. I don't know what the current term is that young people aspire to be. But I'll tell you this, whatever it is, it's empty. It's a bunch of hot air. If you're hoping desperately to be an influencer on the internet, you have to be really careful to cultivate the right image. It's terrible. People posing online. People posing in churches. People posing in nightclubs and bars and on the sidewalk. Don't do it. Instead, Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who can unfriend you. Know what he says? No, Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, can do no more. I asked a guy who smuggled Bibles into communist countries, aren't you concerned that you could get caught? He said, oh, I've been caught. I said, well, aren't you afraid they might beat you or something? He said, oh, I've been beaten. And I said, well, how do you handle that fear? He said, I'm in God's hands. He said, the worst they can do to me is kill me. And if they do, I'm immediately in heaven. So I don't worry about that. If they throw me into a jail, I figure God has some people in that jail that I'm supposed to talk to about Jesus. If you're not afraid to die, then you're not going to be afraid to live. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has the power to throw you into hell. So I should fear God? Well, yes, in the sense that you recognize he is the judge. What he says is what matters. Everybody else's opinion? Who are they? Who are they? All the styles change. What's in style will soon be out of style. They have to keep changing it in order to get you to buy new stuff. That's the purpose. Jesus says, you need to be concerned about what God says. He's the only one who can throw you into hell. Yeah, but this other person could kill me. I've got news for you. You're going to die. You're going to die. All of us. So somebody who threatens you with death is threatening you with something that's going to happen no matter what they do. But God decides what happens after that. So you ought to take him seriously and say, I want to please him. This person doesn't have to be happy with me. This crowd doesn't have to be happy with me. But if God is not happy with me, I've got a problem. Is that clear? And Jesus says, once you understand that, then you need to understand that God even cares about the sparrows, and you're much more valuable than they are. Therefore, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will also be disowned before the angels of God. You got to be living this life in light of eternity. In 70 years, I've seen that time seems to move faster and faster and faster and faster. I understood that principle when I was in college. But the more you experience it as the decades roll by, the more it's like, whoa. And then you realize, hopefully, that what really matters is not how comfortable or popular you are in this life. What matters is where you're going to spend eternity. That's what matters. Will the Lord receive me as his own? Only if my hope is in him. Those who speak a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Well, oh boy, what does that mean? Every year, somebody's going to ask me whether maybe they've committed the unpardonable sin. Because when they find out about the fact that there is one that's unpardonable, it's like, oh, I thought you could be forgiven of pretty much anything. What does it mean to be guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Actually, what it has to do with is persisting in saying no to the Holy Spirit. Why do you say that? Because if you look at when Jesus talks about this elsewhere, it's in the context of those who were attributing Jesus' ministry to Satan. He was talking about some of these Pharisees who blasphemed God by refusing, no matter the evidence, to repent. Well, so if somebody's presented with the gospel and they reject it, have they then committed that? No. The Apostle Paul was a guy who not only rejected the gospel, rejected Jesus as Messiah, but went around persecuting Christians to death. And God saved him. So the idea is the unrepentant unbelief. When you will not yield, you cannot be forgiven for that. Well, when you're brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, don't worry about how you're going to defend yourselves or what you'll say. Jesus is telling them, you who are my followers are going to suffer for it. If you are faithfully seeking to honor the Lord, there is a price to pay. There will be opposition. Don't fear it. Expect it. But don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. All right, what was our main point? A healthy fear of God will keep you from fearing anything else. I think I have a healthy fear of God, but sometimes I still feel afraid. Oh, well, let me clarify. We're not talking about feeling fear. Notice the main point isn't it'll keep you from feeling any fear. That's not what we said. A healthy fear of God will keep you from fearing anything else. Well, what if I do fear? You don't have to fear. There's a difference between feeling fear and being afraid. I don't know if you realize it, but the temperature early this morning was down in the low 30s. If you were dressing like you were just a few days ago and you went out there, you might have been tempted to say something like, boy, I'm freezing. But you weren't. If we'd slipped a thermometer under your tongue, your temp would have been about 98.6. I feel fear, but I don't let fear be in charge. It's not about what I feel. I may feel fear, but I base my behavior on what I know. That's what courage is. Courage is not going into battle. The bullets are flying, but I do not feel fear. You can feel any way you want, but you still go into battle. And you put your trust in the God who can protect you and will protect you as long as that is the best thing for your good and his glory. George Washington, after the French and Indian War, was revered by the Indians. And the reason was because he'd been shot numerous times in what turned out to be his overcoat. It was full of holes, but he wasn't. Was he wearing a bulletproof vest? No, he was supernaturally protected because God had other things in store for him. He was trusting in God, even as he went into battle. He didn't have to be afraid. You don't have to either. But what if they kill me? Then you go to heaven if you know Jesus. I'm not sure I do. Then you need to repent. You need to put your trust in Jesus. Because if you're not trusting in him, you've got every reason to be afraid. But if you are trusting in him, you may feel fear, but don't be afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.